Want to first of all say good morning. It is certainly good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. Certainly thankful to see each and every one of you that's come out to be with us this morning, and especially those who's not been with us in the last couple of weeks. We're so thankful that you're able to be back with us this morning. I hope and pray that each and every one of you have had a good Thanksgiving week this week, a good time with your families, a good time not only of eating food, but a good time just fellowshipping with each other and loved ones. I'm so thankful for the good song selection that we had sung this morning, and especially the last song. Of course, I love hearing all of the songs sing. I don't know if I can really point out a favorite of mine, not because they're all my favorites, but the last song that we had sung, you know, if you're lost and separated from God and you don't know where you might stand, as that song says, I want us to be together in heaven. I not only want us to be together in heaven, but I believe God wants you to be with Him in heaven as well. We read that God takes no pleasure in those who die in their sin. It's the will of God that all men should come to Him and repent, and it's not His will that any should perish and die lost and without Him. So if you don't know where you stand with the Lord this morning, if you're lost and separated from God, I beg with you this morning to seek after Him while He may be found and call upon Him while He is near. So there's not a person in the room with you today that doesn't want you to be up with us in heaven one day after a while. You know, you read the chorus and the verses of this song, you know, and although it is a song that a man wrote down, yeah, I believe it's all true, right? Because it is what the Bible teaches us. You know, and that second verse, you know, it usually hits home to me. The chorus usually hits home to me, but the second verse really does, because I'm sure we all strive our very best to do what we can for our families to make a good enough income. But sometimes greed gets in there. Wouldn't it be nice to be a millionaire on this earth? It would be nice to see all that money, all those commas in your bank account tomorrow, wouldn't it? It'd be nice to wake up and see that. It'd be nice to go out to, you know, me and my wife this past week, we went out to the clothing stores and got us discounted clothes. You know, it'd be nice if we wouldn't have to do that and we could get all these nice and fancy clothes. You know, we could get us a brand spanking new car. But let me tell you, all that doesn't matter. Not one bit. Because all that's going to burn up one day after a while. When you die, you can't take that to the grave with you. But what this verse says, it says, but if the blood is not applied, then in hell you'll lift your eyes. And I don't think there's a simpler way to put that. If you've not been saved by the grace of God this morning, and something happens, and it's your time to go, you need to consider where it is you're going. So anyways, I don't want to prolong my preliminary remarks, but that's just what's been on my heart this morning so far. And I hope and pray this morning that, lost soul, you can be serious about your condition, and us as the church, we could be serious about following the Spirit of God, letting the Word of God have free course, so that it could freely move among us today. So anyways, I do want to go to the Lord in a word of prayer. I wonder at this time if there might be any praise or prayer requests or anything upon anybody's hearts. These be said or done.
Yeah, I'd like to thank the Lord for being here this morning.
Amen.
I didn't really
want to go. If not, at this time we'll go to the Lord in word of prayer. Let us do be mindful of the prayer requests that was made mention of this morning. Let us do be mindful of the service, that God would just get all honor and glory out of it. Be prayerful for us, if it's the Lord's will that we should stand for a few moments of time, they would be pleased with our efforts. But above all, let us be prayerful for those that are lost and undone. Before we go, anybody have an unspoken request upon their hearts this morning? All right, let us go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Brother Scott, do you mind leading our hearts in a word of prayer? Would like to ask this morning if anybody has anything on their hearts they feel like the Lord is leading them to do. If not, then we're going to go to that which the Lord has placed on our hearts. You got your Bibles and you want to follow along with us. I'm going to start off in the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. And unless the Lord changes our direction this morning, we're going to read all 16 verses of the chapter. So Hebrews chapter 4. We're starting off with verse 1. The writer here, he said, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing, therefore, it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And I'm going to stop right there for just a few moments of time. And it is my prayer this morning that the Lord would bless the reading of his word, that it be for our good and our benefit, and it'd be for his honor and glory. This morning, as we come this way, I was thinking this morning about the Sunday school that we had before coming here, and it was a good time. We had lots of good discussion, and you could feel the Spirit moving there in the little discussion, and I'm so thankful for that. And if there's anything great that is ever going to be done, we must need to have aid of the Holy Spirit. As I was thinking about these passages of Scripture, and we're going to get to them in a few moments of time, but as I was thinking about these few passages of Scripture that the Lord had placed on our hearts, you see, the Bible says here in the fourth chapter that there remains a rest for the people of God. And I'm so thankful this morning that, as we labor here on earth and try to do our very best to do that which the Lord sees fit. You know, sometimes we get a little weary in this body, do we not? It gets a little tiring, doesn't it? You know, I can think of back in the summertime when it came to especially revivals, you know, going there night in and night out and praying and studying. And I'm not griping about that. But, you know, it was tiring for my body. It got to where I was weary, got to where I was restless. But, you know, one of these days, there is going to be a rest for the people of God where they could lay our bodies down and we can finally start life. We can finally start living. We can start living without sin and start living without all the temptations that we face here on the earth. But you know, this morning, if you're lost and separated from God, if you die in your sins, you're not going to die and go to a place of rest. Sad, but true. See, the Bible tells us, I believe it was Jesus there in the book of Luke, about when he described hell, he said that there was a weeping and gnashing of teeth. He said it's where the fire never quenches and the worm dies not. We read in also in Luke about how there was the rich man and Lazarus there. And about when Lazarus died, he went to heaven. But you see, the rich man died. And the Bible says that he lifted his eyes up in hell. And you see, he still had all his senses. He could see, he could feel, he could smell, he could taste. He was thirsty for a drop of water. He could see Lazarus afar off in the place of rest in Abraham's bosom. What a torment that must have been. What a torment that is. You see, I believe this morning that if God would ever allow us to open up the floorboards here and allow us to take a sneak peek on what's happening in hell, let me tell you what, folks, there is a big prayer meeting going on down there. There is. Abraham, not Abraham, but the rich man was crying. Oh, that Lazarus would just send his finger to dip in that water just to cool his tongue. He was crying that Lazarus would go out and tell his brethren of his family members of this awful place. You see, folks, you're either going to bow down and repent to God on this side of life, or you're going to do it in the next side of life. But you see, you need to get it done on while you're here and while you're on this side of eternity. Oh, because let me tell you, folks, this is something that when we speak and preach and the testimonies have been said, this is something that's real. It's something that's something that needs to be taken serious. Folks, let me tell you this. You know, we read here in your reading, besides the place of rest, about the Word of God, you see. And in that 12th verse, it said how the Word of God, it's quick. What does that mean? That it's alive and it's functioning. But folks, let me tell you, without the Spirit of God revealing it, it would be a dead letter. It is. You can go out and, oh, the carnal man, they try to figure everything out about God that they can. And they try to
go into His Word. But you see, to those who don't have the Spirit reading it, it's just a dead letter. It don't mean anything. Don't make a lick of sense. You can sing Amazing Grace all you want, but until you have actually experienced God's amazing grace, it don't mean nothing. You could read about Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, but unless the Spirit is in it and God's trying to reach you, and it's nothing. Folks, let me tell you this morning, when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to the preached Word of God, we need to pray that God would send His Spirit down and that God would cause the Word to come alive in the hearts of those that are lost, and not just them, but in our hearts too, as saved individuals. That God would just send it. The Word of God is quick, it's alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder, cutting through the joints of the marrow of the heart, cuts through the thoughts and intents of it. God gets right down to business with sinful man, and that's to show us what we really are. You see, we studied in Bible study a couple weeks ago when we met here about the fallen state of man and the fallen nature. And you know, when we got to reading the Bible verses and everything that the authors have said, within 5 minutes we came up to the agreement that we're not as much of good people as what we think we are. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what the law gives. And the law, that's what Paul said in Galatians, that it was a schoolmaster unto him, that it would just not only break him, but that it would lead him to Jesus Christ. You see, the gospel, when we talk about the gospel, it is broken down in a definition in the Smith's dictionary about how it stands for the good news. And it is good news. It is good news about a Savior, the Son of God, oh, coming off His seat in heaven, oh, being born as a babe in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. How He lived the life of a carpenter's son. There was no place for Him to lay His head to rest. And they beat Him, they mocked Him, they spit upon Him, they scorched Him. There was a lot of bloodshed. He was hung on a cross, and that was all for us. Isaiah 53, for He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. We read in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And let me tell you, I believe when it comes to salvation, it's personal between the sinner and God. It's personal between the creation and the Creator. It's personal with the sinner, the individual, and God, the author of salvation. You see, this morning, folks, we've got to, there's a lot of people, I'm afraid, that wonder about this life, trying to figure out what it is to fill in that empty void, that empty space, something that they're just restless after. And you see, we read in Jeremiah 6:16 about how God told Jeremiah to proclaim to the people of Israel that they should stand and seek and ask for the old paths. Why? Because in those ways they would find rest for their souls. You see, when God, through His Spirit, convicts and troubles the sinner, it puts their soul in a restless state. And you see, This morning, folks, I pray that if you're lost and separated from God, or those that have came here in times past and have proclaimed that they're lost and separated from God, I pray that God puts them in a restless state. You might say, now, preacher, that's terrible of you. But I can tell you this, the same thing was prayed for me by the saints of old. The same thing was prayed for me. Oh, when I was growing up, I could just remember the saints of old. You know, there at Pleasant Grove Church, you know, when Dad pastored there, man, they didn't have a lick of shame in what they were doing. The Lord told them to stand up, and the Lord moved on their hearts. Let me tell you this, they would stand up in a heartbeat, and they would say, now, brother, I think we need to pray for so-and-so over here. Folks, let me tell you, it not only showed that they cared about the Word of God, about giving it free course, but it cared, but they cared about my soul and my condition. They cared about the condition of those who were lost and separated from God. Folks, you know, we talked about in Sunday school about the Spirit of God. We talked about Jonah and there in Nineveh, how he only spoke about 7 or 8 words, you know, yet 40 days, and then Nineveh shall be destroyed, you see. And it brought that whole town down. It brought the kings and the princes down to where they clothed themselves in ashes and they repented to God for the evil that they had done. And let me tell you, I believe that those 8 words that Jonah spoke was backed up by not only the Spirit, but by the power of God. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing of sunder. And that was a good representation of it. Oh, but you see, the Word of God this morning, the Spirit of God this morning, folks. Let me tell you this. I believe that God is not dead. My personal belief, and I don't know your hearts, but this is my personal belief, that God's Spirit that He left for us as His people, that He still wants to move around His people. And not only that, but that God still wants to save. How great is that? How great is that? That even whenever I myself for years have prayed for a single individual, that God would bring them down, that they could be saved. Oh, and after about 2 or 3 years of praying that prayer to just give up, throw up my hands and give up, I'm so thankful that when I give up, God does not give up. That when I give up on a person's condition, God does not give up on their condition. But yet God seeks out to trouble their soul, to cut their heart with the Word, and to save them. See, being saved by God's grace, it's a marvelous thing. Oh, and it's something that down in my heart, I want all of creation to experience it. But you see, folks, in order for the Spirit of God and the Word of God to move, there has to be a people to let Him have free course. You know, I believe it was in 2 Thessalonians when Paul was getting ready to depart from the brethren there. He had told them, he said, brethren, pray for us that the Word of God would just have free course, that it would just be freely able to move about us. You see, folks, let me tell you, I believe that the preached Word of God, oh, it's good, and it's a good testimony. Oh, but let me tell you this, if you've been saved by the grace of God, and God moves on your heart, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, don't God can use to an individual and cut their hearts.
Amen.
Oh, just like the woman at the well in the 4th chapter of John. You see, I love reading that, don't you, Brother Scott? I love reading that. My heart just gets bubbled up each time I go there. Oh, and you see this Samaritan woman. Oh, she was, I believe she was in pretty rough shape. Oh, she was in as rough shape as they came. Oh, and she went to the well there. But you see, she went to the well to fill up her water cups, but she did not expect to leave there with the water of life in her heart. Amen. But you know, we read about how Jesus, he got personal with that individual. He got personal with her. You know, you say you don't have any husbands, but yet you've got 5, you know. Told her about the sin that she was doing. And let me tell you, Paul in the book of Romans, chapter 7 and verse 9, about how he said, for when the commandment came, when the law came, sin revived, and I died. Oh, when my sin was made known to me, I felt awful about it. I felt guilty because it was my sin that hung him on the cross there. Sinner friend, it's your sin that hung him on the cross there. See, yeah, it's for the whole world, but it's got to get personal with people. And you see, folks, I'm telling you, it said that the sin revived, I died. I felt awful about what I had done as a sin. Little 7-year-old boy, and you might think, well, as a 7-year-old boy, there's not much bad that you can do in this world. But according to the Word of God, I was a terrible person. I was born in sin. I came forth. The Bible says in Psalms that when the baby comes forth out of the womb speaking lies, I was a terrible person. By nature, it was okay for me to lie. By nature, it was okay for me to go against what God said was right. Oh, but when the law came, when God's Spirit came, sin revived, it was shown to me. I died, I felt guilty. And guess what? I had to go to the person and repent to the person who was offended for my sins. You see, there's people who use the term today. Excuse me. There's people who use the term, says, I accepted Christ. And in which I know of people that whenever you ask them what that means, buddy, they'll give you a good sound testimony. Because that's the only way they know how to word it. But then there's others, when they say, I've accepted Christ, they'll say, well, I just went up and made a decision. I went up to the preacher, shook his hand, I don't know. But you see, if we use the phraseology of I accepted Christ, you know what that means? That we were the offended party over what God did. And folks, that's contrary to what the Bible says. God's the offended party for our sins. And that's why the Bible commands to repent, or else you shall likewise perish. Oh, but you see, the woman there at the well, you know, I believe that when Jesus made her sins known to her, oh, I believe she probably felt terrible about them. But you know, she came there and she dropped her water pots, went back to the town of Samaria and said, come and see a man. And he told me all the things that I've done. Is this not the Christ? And we read further down that the Bible says that there was many people who believed her words. You know why? Because the Spirit and power of God, I believe, was behind hers. Her testimony. You know, we need the Spirit when it comes to our testimonies, you see. You know, we don't need to be just standing our testimony just so we can be heard. But we need to ask God, God, what is it that I can do for you? Lord, here I am,
send me. Oh, the word of God is quick. It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It can cut down and prick the hearts of those stony hearts who we think they're too far gone. Folks, ain't nobody too far gone for God. Ain't you thankful for that? Ain't nobody too far gone for God to reach. Oh, we read there in Ezekiel 36 there about how the word, the Lord came to Ezekiel and was talking to him about how, and I believe it was in 36 and 26 or 25, about how God would clean the heart of the individual and he would break that stony heart. And then afterwards, he would take that stony heart out and give them a new heart and give them a new spirit, which is his spirit. And he said, you shall be of my people, and I will be your God. Folks, let me tell you, if you've been saved by the grace of God this morning, ain't you glad? That's what the song says. I am his, and he is mine. Not just for a little bit of time. You see, there's people who say that you can lose salvation. Folks, let me tell you, if you've really been saved by the grace of God, you wouldn't want to go back to your old ways. You wouldn't want to go back to the sinful things of the world. And I understand that we still have to deal with the flesh and the temptations like that on a day-to-day basis. Oh, well, let me tell you, if you've been truly saved by the grace of God, your heart would grieve over the sins that you've committed. Mine does on a day-to-day basis. Oh, you know, when I take a look in the mirror that I am, and I'm like, man, I'm such a pitiful, sorry excuse of a servant of God. But you know what? I'm thankful God comes along and he picks up my broken pieces. Oh, and he helps me out. And he leads me along to try to do better. Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not need anything else. You know, there's people who say you can lose salvation. But let me tell you this. Oh, if it were possible, then all we're telling God is that his sacrifice wasn't good enough for our sins. That's all we're doing. You see, if it was possible, even Hebrews says, if it was possible for those of us who are once in line and tasted the heavenly gift to fall for that state, then it tells us that we put him, Jesus, to an open shame. Oh, folks, take hold of what you got. Grow in it. We read in 2 Peter that the apostle says, make your calling and your election sure. You see, we are a called people. We're ones that God has called out from his darkness to be in his marvelous light. And those that God is drawing to repent from their sins, he's doing the same thing. He's trying to call them out of darkness to be and walk in that marvelous light. You see, we read, I believe it was Strong's Concordance. I'm trying to get somewhere. Just bear with me. But you know, we read the Strong's Concordance about how the word church is translated to the Greek word ekklesia, meaning a called out people. You see, you know what the Bible tells us? That we are a chosen people. A peculiar generation, a royal priesthood before God. Folks, we were called out from the sin that we was in to walk in the newness of life that God has given us. And let me tell you, when people see Friendship Church, they ought to know that there's a difference between the people that go there and the people that walk everywhere else. When people see Friendship Church should have a light being held as high as they can. See, you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. And if the salt has lost its flavor, what good is it? Folks, the little kids sing a song every now and then. this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. But folks, have we hid ours underneath the bushel? Have we come to, have we let Satan blow that light out? We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. But have we lost our savor? Have we lost the flavor that we had given? Folks, let me tell you, there needs to be some thinking going on. You see, you know, last Sunday, you know, I don't mean to get back to this, but last Sunday I had made mention about now there seems to be a lot more older people in our churches than some of the younger. You know, folks, let me tell you, you need to ask yourself a question. Where is this church, where is this word going to be 2, 5, 10 years from now? 20 years if God allows time to stand? 30 years maybe? And with all the ones that we've got in, if God allows time to stand, and this is just in all honesty, if God allows time to stand, 20 years, it probably could just be down to a handful of people. I'm just being honest with each and every one of you. And this is something that seriously needs to be taken into consideration. And I'm not saying this just to repeat myself. I'm saying this as the Lord gives me that we need to take seriously the work and the calling and the election that God has given us as His people, that we should walk in His statutes. See, I don't think I can stress hard enough. The future of the church, the future of this church, lies in the hands and the responsibility of today's members. We get to decide where this church is going to be years from now. Folks, we read in Nehemiah. You see, I'm getting somewhere. I'm trying to. Just bear with me. But we read in Nehemiah about when the wall of Jerusalem was broken down and the people came together. And what is it they said in the third chapter? That they said they had a mind to work to get this building back. And they had each and every individual doing their own individual tasks, their own individual assignments. And guess what? If I'm not wrong, the Bible tells us that the wall was built back within 2.5 months. We live right off Taylor Road. Let me tell you, they've been working on Taylor Road for almost a full year. You can go on I-65, and guess what? They can't get nothing done in 2.5 months. It has to take about 2 or 3 years. And I'm not saying that as a mock a complaining time, but I'm saying this as, if you want something done, work for it. The wall was built back in 2.5 months. Imagine what this congregation of God's people can do in 2.5 months if we got our hearts and minds where it needs to be. If we got our work ethic where it needs to be. The Word of God is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's amazing what the Word of God can do when accompanied by the Spirit. But you see, there still has to be a people who desires God's presence for that to work. Folks, as I am done with what God has given me, see, I heard a preacher say one time, he said, next time you go to church, bring God with you. And you know what? We can. Because when we're saved, we're not only given peace, spiritual peace and spiritual joy that passes all understanding. But God imputes within us, gives within us His Spirit for us to walk. That's why the body, that's why the Bible calls this body a temple. Let me tell you what, folks, you can bring God with you. But folks, do you dwell with Him every single day? Are you in His presence? Folks, I love each and every one of you. And I don't know if I can say that enough, with enough conviction. I love each and every one of you. I've been so thankful to the good Lord for the last year that He has brought us up here and get to know each and every one of you. There's not a one of you that I regret meeting. But you know what? But I do know that there is a bunch of spiritual hindrances in our lives, in our private lives, and in our devotions to God. But it starts with us. I love each and every one of you enough to say, if we want to get this sanctuary built within 2.5 months like Nehemiah did, we can, with a mind to work. Now, I'm not saying to give up your jobs, but let me tell you, when this building gets done, I'm looking forward in our first service seeing quite a bit of people. I want our very last service in this building to be filled up shoulder to shoulder. I really do. Wouldn't that be a great way to start off, going into the next sanctuary? And you're saying, now, preacher, what are you getting at? I'm saying, get you a vision of what God can do. I leave each and every Sunday wondering who else is going to lead to join this church. Who else? You know, we're talking about Kaylee being baptized by May. I keep leaving the parking lot saying, when do I get to baptize someone else? Because that was something that filled my joy, filled my heart, to see in the kingdom of God grow and advance. You say, preacher, how can I get a vision? Well, you want to see your loved one saved, don't you? That's a vision. You want to see not just them saved, you want to see your coworker saved, don't you? That's a vision. The Word of God is powerful, folks. Oh, but people, we need to get people in so they can hear it. I'm done. I hope and pray you got something out of this. I did not mean to go that direction. That's okay. We're just going to follow God. You'll be surprised what a church can do when people have a mind to work for God. Sister Rachel, if you don't mind, get us a song. Brother Mark, if you want to help her play piano. Brother Danny. And let us all sing praises to the Lord this morning. Let us dwell on what it is the Lord has placed in our hearts. And while we're singing, it's not a bad thing to ask, Lord, what is it I can do for you in this service?